I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike, and you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What are we talking about today, Mike?
Today I thought we would talk about hiking boots or hiking footwear, what to wear on the trail to keep your feet comfortable, safe, protected, things of that nature.
Okay, that's a good topic. That's one that we probably, once again, should have covered earlier.
one of the first things we bought.
Yeah.
So, you and I, when we first started, really kind of decided that, boots were the way to go. And we both decided that waterproof boots were the way to go because where we were planning on going, we knew there were rivers and all this kind of stuff that you'd have to cross. So we wanted to make sure our feet stayed dry and the boot went up high enough to where we had more ankle support, things of that nature for the different terrain.
I'll be honest with you. I think you thought about it a lot harder than I did. Like, I was just like, oh, we're going hiking. I need hiking boots. Like, I mean, that was...
Okay.
I hate to be, like, oversimplify it, but I was just like, okay, we're going hiking. Hiking boots, I mean, hiking boots are a thing. Let me go to the store and buy hiking boots. So I don't think I thought about it as hard as you did. I mean, in hindsight, I am fairly happy with what I got.
Okay.
And you kind of pointed me more in the right direction of what to get. I think you bought yours first. And you were like, well, I got this and I got this and I got this and this is why. And I'm like, okay, well, that all makes sense. So I just kind of went and bought some. In the time that we have been hiking, I have learned a lot more about different types of boots and different type of footwear in general that the options are out there for.
Right.
Still pretty happy with what I got.
You're still on your original pair, right?
I'm still on my original pair.
Yeah.
I will say I have thought about other options, though. Like, knowing that there are more options out there than just, like, oh, go to the store and buy hiking boots. So... So let's go over some of that sort of stuff and see where the conversation takes us. So like where do you want to start?
Well, I guess we'll start with what we know. We can delve into the boots and then, cause that's what we have and what we know. And then I thought maybe we could go move into other genre, if that's the right word, other categories of footwear for hiking, different classes maybe or whatever. So, you and I, like I guess you said, I looked into it way more than you did. We have a Columbia outlet about a half hour from my house. So we were down at the outlet. So I stopped into the Columbia outlet knowing that in a few months we were going to be going hiking. I was like, well, Columbia is an outdoor brand. They should have boots.
Right. Theoretically.
I have Columbia brand other stuff as well as like winter boots, and they're really comfortable, keep my feet warm, they do the job. So I was like, well, they know what they're doing, so I will go and look at Columbia boots.
Fair enough.
A friend of mine that has hiked before told me to purchase a half size bigger than what you would actually wear because she mentioned that her feet swell and you want your feet to remain comfortable even with the swelling and everything, which made sense. So I bought a half size bigger, and I did find that my feet moved around too much in them. So I stay to a true to me size for my boots, but that could be me. If your feet swell, mine I guess tend to shrink. I don't know, but.
I don't, you know, because, okay, so let's talk about that for a minute. Because that was one of the things you recommended to me. Because you've got a friend that is an avid hiker.
Right.
You talked to her quite a bit when we first got going to get some, like, tips and tricks that she had. And you had said to me, buy a half size bigger.
Yep.
I did not wind up doing that, and I'm glad I didn't.
Okay.
I find that my feet get sweaty. I mean, for sure.
Sure.
I don't find that they swell much, though.
Maybe we're doing it right, and she's not. I don't know. But yeah, I don't find that mine swell as much. So that pair of boots wore down. I ended up, something either crushed the toe of it or whatever. It was rubbing on my toe really bad, causing blisters and a lot of pain on the hike. So I tossed those and got a different pair, different brand, and very happy with these. Aside from the discomfort on the other ones, I would have bought those again, but they crushed within 6 months of owning them. So I was like, well.
So that's one of the specific notes that I took in prepping for this conversation today, though, is like when you're hiking, you know, like everybody's got like their daily wear shoes, right? Like, right. And all that sort of stuff. And like, if you're not moving that much, it kind of doesn't matter if, I think it's called the toe box, right? Like the front of the shoe, like the toe box, like a lot of, everybody knows what shoes are shaped like. So a lot of times like it tapers more at the toe. That is a real thing with hiking. I'm going to say hiking boots, but really probably hiking footwear in general, is you want to make sure, like, you're going to get blisters on the trail regardless. Like, I hate to say it, like, everybody at some point is going to get blisters, but you do want to pay attention to whatever footwear you get. Make sure that your toes are not getting crunched. Like, if you are between sizes, maybe then go the bigger size versus the smaller size in that scenario or whatever. Yep. But like, you really don't want your toes rubbing together, because
rubbing together or sweat or the bigger
socks or, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, there's all sorts of things. Like, your toes are going to be doing work.
Yeah.
Out on the trail. You do not want them super tight, crushed into the toe box of your boot. So even if it feels comfortable in the store, make sure you got room to wiggle your toes around, because you need to make sure if they're all scrunched together, you're going to get blisters way worse than if you got room to like move your toes around in there.
Right. This isn't a pair of your, if you're a lady, your high heels, or you know, if for the gentleman, your dress shoes or whatever, where you're not wearing them for that long and you can,
right.
And you're moving in them. You are putting weight on your feet and on your back and everything. So make sure that they are comfortable and that you've got room for everything.
So like walk around the store. I mean, don't just like try them on. Oh yeah, that's comfortable. Like walk around the store.
Yeah.
You know, you might look a little bit weird just doing laps, but you know, make sure that they are comfy, whatever type of footwear you get, make sure your toes got room to move around.
Right.
Yeah. There's other things you can do with your toes. Like I still find Mike and I don't hike enough that my feet are accustomed to hiking all the time.
Right.
So my boots are pretty broke in. I don't get bad blisters, but every now and then I still get blisters. There are things you can do. There's like, you can like tape your toes. There's like that second skin stuff that you can put on there, that sort of stuff. So like, if you're just getting like minor blisters, like you like your shoes, whatever you wind up getting, but you're just getting a little bit of wear and tear on your toes that you don't want to get, like there are other options that you can do. You don't have to just run right out and buy new boots, but you know, to the best of your ability, get ones that fit right from the get-go.
Right. Yeah. Mine was more of my toe box was caved in a spot that was constantly rubbing on my feet. So I was like, okay, it's time to get new boots. Like it wasn't.
Yeah, for sure. Right.
So, but, so we also wanted to make sure that, like I said before, we got waterproof because of the type of hiking we do. There are pros to the waterproof, which the biggest pro is that you can step in a puddle. You can step in pretty much up to the top of the shoe and you are not getting wet. Your foot is not getting wet. I tested it in Lake Superior actually. And I stepped in there, probably shouldn't have been my first test with it, but I felt my foot get instantly cold, but it was not wet. Like the temperature of the water cooled my foot off. But as soon as I pulled it out of the water, I was like, my foot is not wet at all. So,
I mean, I definitely like a waterproof boot, and my boots are waterproof. The problem with waterproof is, I mean, your feet are going to sweat more.
Yeah, they don't breathe. They don't breathe.
Yeah. That's the thing. So, I mean, then your feet are going to sweat in them. They don't breathe. And then you got like foot sweat in the boot. So your boot don't really air out all that well, even when you take the boot off. So I don't know. I mean, I guess it really depends on, do you think you're going to be crossing streams? Do you plan on hiking if it's raining?
Like you said, we don't hike enough to really have our feet accustomed to hiking, for one. But for two, I know that we will be in areas where it will be wet, could be muddy, all that kind of stuff, where I want waterproof. But I know there's other times where we're going to be going, it's going to be like it's been, where it's dry as hell right now. I don't necessarily want four different pairs of hiking boots.
I know. I don't necessarily want four different pairs of hiking boots either. Right. I mean, I kind of go back and forth on the waterproof thing, because I'll be honest, like the few times that we have crossed major stream crossings, I've taken my boots off to do that because it's deep enough go over the boot.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like, okay, do I need waterproof boots? Or we talked in a different episode about like boot gaiters, right? Like, so if you're just, if you're only getting it because you might hike in the rain, well, you theoretically could get some boot gaiters to keep the rain off of your boots. And then they wouldn't have to be waterproof. So I can see both ways. Like, I, in my mind, like knowing that mine are waterproof. I don't know as though they need to be, though.
True. And, well, yeah, and with the boot gaiters, that's a positive thing. Again, the pro of it is knowing that your feet are going to stay dry from external water, their external moisture. They won't stay dry from internal, but because your sweat.
Yeah,
but
right.
So the con is that it doesn't breathe, and it's a heavier boot because it's doesn't have as much meshy material that allows the boot to breathe. So it is a heavier boot. So, you know, you do your research and figure out where you're going to be going and do it that way. If you've got the money, or you find a wicked deal that like you can get two pairs for the price of one, or buy one, get one half off, anything like that, take advantage of it, get two of the same pair of boot and get one that's waterproof.
One that's waterproof and one that's not.
Because the boots that I have, I almost accidentally bought the non-waterproof. They were sitting right next to each other, and there was the one that specifically said waterproof, and then the other one that says, I think it says breathe, or I forget what other term it used, but it was definitely not waterproof. So you want to make sure.
I know. So I can't say as though, I mean, to the listener, I can't say as though I would recommend one over the other. No. This is going to be one of those kind of
preference thing. Yeah.
Like what type of hiking are you doing? What do you plan on encountering? Like if you do have a stream crossing, do you think you would be willing to take your boots off to cross that stream? You know?
Yeah.
I can really see the arguments both ways. I don't have you should do it this way and only this way. Like this is going to be a personal preference in conjunction with where are you hiking and what are the conditions and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. And I guess continue on with the boots, aside from the waterproof, instead of just beating that dead horse there, another thing that I really wanted, like I mentioned before, is it goes up and it hugs your ankle, and you can tie it a little tighter around your ankle. So you've got more support around your ankle. So if you're stepping on tree roots, you're stepping on uneven terrain, anything like that, you got loose rocks, anything, it's helping your ankle. So you're not rolling it or anything like that. So it helps you stay upright and helps you with support there. Again, though, with that extra material around that, your ankle, instead of going with a shoe rather than a boot, or a boot rather than a shoe, it adds more weight. It adds more.
Well, but even with boots, right? Like, not even getting into the shoe aspect of it, even just in hiking boots, there's low cut, mid cut, and high cut versions, even of boots. So the general rule of thumb for anybody that doesn't really know what the difference is, and I'll be honest, like I was one of those people that before we started looking into stuff, I didn't really understand what the difference was. I thought a boot was a boot.
Right.
And it was just kind of like, what's more comfortable? A low cut boot is going to be clearly lighter weight because there's less material, there's less boot there. So clearly that's going to be lighter weight, which is really nice. The rule of thumb is that is good for like well-maintained trails. So, like, if you're just, like, on a nice, well-groomed, well-maintained trail, maybe not a lot of roots sticking out, not a lot of elevation change, good irrigation, all that, low-cut boot, perfect for that.
Perfectly. Okay.
Your mid-cut is going to be the best of both worlds between a low-cut and a high-cut. So it's going to offer you more of that ankle support without full ankle support, without adding all the weight. But that's going to be for, like, your middle of the road trails, right? Like, so there might be some ruts, but generally speaking, it's pretty even terrain, nothing too crazy, not a lot of rocks, all that sort of stuff. So, like, right. It's going to offer you some ankle support, maybe not a ton, but better than a low cut. And then your high cut boots, those are going to be like your maximum ankle support. That's going to be for like when Mike and I talk like backcountry, right? Or you're like out on a hiking trail, you're probably going to want either like your mid or your high cut for right. that, for the ankle support, for the durability of the boot, for all the things that you get with having that heavier boot on a rougher terrain. So it really kind of goes by like what's your terrain and what's your potential for rolling an ankle on how high of a cut right. you want your boot to be is how I understand that.
Right. Well, and again, if you don't want four different pairs of boots, if you think you're going to encounter the rougher terrain at all, that's my preference would be, that's what I'd recommend for myself. That's why I went with, I believe mine are mids, but they might be highs.
Mine are mids.
But so that I went with that just because we're not in the Appalachians. We're not in the Rockies.
Right.
You know, but, right. So we don't have as bad of elevation change, but we do have hills in Michigan. And right.
But they're hills. I mean, they're yeah, not mountains. Right. I mean, even the Porkies, somebody will probably yell at me
they're
for saying
steep
this.
Steep hills.
They're steep hills. It's not really mountains.
Right.
Like when you think mountains, you think
they were declassified. The Appalachian
mountains,
they're no
you think
longer
the Rocky Mountains. Yeah, right. I mean, so like they're big hills, right? Right. We don't have treacherous terrains. We're not bouldering. We're not, you know, like it's not, we got some ruts, but mostly our trails are pretty well maintained.
Right.
They're not crazy. So like a mid works fine. Now, if you and I were going out to do, let's say we were doing a through hike on the Appalachian Trail or something, I might consider getting some like real boots for that.
Right.
Or when I say real boots, I mean like the high cut boots,
the high
like
cut,
a
the
full boot.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, for what you and I do for our, you know, even for our multi-day longer trips in the mud, in the rain, up and down hills, over roots and stuff, I don't find that I need the full support of a high cut boot.
Right.
I find the mids work just fine.
Yeah. And I guess not to go back to the waterproof, but one thing that I just thought of was our most recent trip that we ended up hiking in rain and wet surroundings,
yeah.
And they are not waterproof from water seeping down your pants.
True.
they still can, the water can still go in over the top there, and that definitely happened to us
yes.
this fall. So
which is
summer.
Where your other things like the gators or whatever,
yep.
may have, if had we had them, probably would have came in handy.
Oh, probably, absolutely they would have.
We didn't, so Mike and I dealt with wet boots for a couple of days, because yeah, I mean, your pant legs get wet and then it's running down your leg and now it's going into your boot.
Yep.
And to go back to what we said, the boots didn't dry out for the entire trip, pretty
no,
much. Because,
no.
like, once they're wet, they're not breathable. They're not drying out at night.
Yep.
You know, they were wet. And there ain't a hell of a lot you can do about it.
And because they're waterproof from letting water in, they're also waterproof from letting water out. So
yeah.
Once you have water in your boot, it ain't coming out until you take your boot off and dump it out.
Yeah.
And then every night we could have a fire. We were leaning our boots up next to the fire, letting them steam
right.
out, trying to get them to dry. And I think they finally dried that last night.
The last night mine finally got dry where it wasn't like stepping into a puddle when you put them on.
Yeah.
But
so keep in mind, keep an eye on the weather. And if it's going to rain, maybe look at the gators. I think I'm definitely going to for the next season. I think we talked earlier that we're probably done for the season, so I might be looking at some gear for the next season and
yeah.
Thinking of that. So
One thing, can I touch on one thing real quick before we totally leave waterproofing behind?
Yeah.
One of the things to kind of keep in mind too is, like, it is my understanding, at least, that even if you buy a waterproof boot, it's not necessarily waterproof forever. So True. They do make, like, re-waterproofing sprays and stuff. Like, if your boots are still in good condition, but you're just finding that they're not waterproof anymore, they do make, like, a waterproofing spray or waterproofing treatment that you can put on those boots to, like, extend the life of your boot.
Yep.
So if the boot itself is not worn out and you just got, like, a waterproofing problem, my recommendation would be to check into, like, some of those sprays and stuff to re-waterproof them.
You mentioned that.
Just, like, pitching them.
I actually had some of that spray, but from back, it's old because it was from back when we used to tent camp.
Sure.
But I had a can of it still as a brand new can, so I was like, it's not going to hurt to apply it. I put it on my tent.
Okay.
When I set up the tent and sprayed that when I was doing the permethrin. Spray. I did the rainproofing first and then the permethrin, just to try to waterproof the rain fly, especially.
Yeah.
Knowing that we were going into wet conditions. So that spray has multi-use, options out there. You can spray your pack. You can, you know, it's just going to help, wick water away or make it bead up and run down, rather than absorb. So, yeah, that's what I have for boots. Do you have more for boots? You got more stuff for boots?
Yeah, I got a couple
more
things. Well, so, like, I mean, we talked about the ankle support. That was the big one that I wanted to talk about. But then this one isn't specifically boots, so I guess we probably could save it till the end. But I already said yes, so I'm going to keep going. basically, in line with, like, what I was just saying with, like, being able to treat your boots to, like, extend the life of them, for the love of God, know when the time is right to get rid of them. Like, if your sole is starting to separate, or you're starting to get, like you were saying on yours, like, your boot was kind of fine, but it was causing some blister issues in your toes because something got crunched in the front of it that wasn't feeling good, or you got stitching that's starting to come out, or you got, like, an eyelet that's missing or something, or you've broken it, or, you know, at some point, your feet are very important out on the trail. We've said that in multiple episodes, but, like, you're really freaking using your feet, right?
100%.
Know when it's time to say goodbye to those boots and get some new boots. In conjunction with that, break in your new boots.
Yeah.
Don't go out and buy a new pair of boots and immediately hit the trail.
Well, don't hit a 14-mile trail. This is what I'll say is, because your hiking boots, the soles of your boots are not necessarily made for concrete or asphalt. It is made for the trail. It's made for hiking. Yeah. So don't go walking on your sidewalk or on your road or anything like that. Try to stay to the gravel. Try to stay to the softer materials, or go find your local county park or whatever and hike around on the trails there. Don't go into the backcountry for 14 miles and then end up with 15 blisters because you didn't break your boots in. But try to do it off road rather than on road.
I mean, at least on grass or something, right? Because like you're saying, like, the tread is not made for walking down the road. And I mean, that's a good point that we haven't even really touched on either, is, like, boots, and I assume shoes and all the different types of footwear that you can get for the trail too, but they've all got different tread on the bottom.
Right.
And that tread, if you are going on a more difficult trail, you're going to want, just like tires on your vehicle, right?
Right.
Like, if you're going off-roading, you're going to want off-road tires. If you're going off-road, the equivalent on a hiking trail, you're going to want more aggressive tread on the bottom of your footwear than you would, like, if you're on, like we were saying, the well-groomed trails, right? Where maybe there's a little elevation change, maybe it's a little bit of dirt, but basically it's like a walking path.
Right.
Okay, you probably don't need as aggressive of tread for that. If you're going up in the mountains, in the mud, through the river, to grandma's house, and all the things, maybe get a more aggressive tread for that. There are different options. So don't just look at, like, is this a cute boot or not, which, you know, be stylish. I'm not saying don't be stylish about it, but, like, also check and see some of those other things. Like, it's not just, is it waterproof or is it not, what the cut is. There's all these different options. And maybe it's the difference between getting a Columbia boot versus getting a, what's the other ones that you got?
I've got Morel, there's Keen, there's...
Yeah, right.
Yep.
So, like, maybe you're going to have to go out of your comfort zone with, like,
the brand.
If Columbia is the brand that you know, but it doesn't offer the tread that you think you're going to want, you might have to steer out of that and get out of your comfort zone a little bit. Like, you know, this is one of those things we've talked before where some things I think should be brand name and some things maybe don't need to be brand name. I kind of think your footwear might want to be brand name. Like, there are some of these companies.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I feel like you were saying, like, Columbia is a known, and look, people can have their problem with Columbia. I'm not saying Columbia, like, whatever. I'm not saying they're a great company and I can't say what they're, I'm not saying because I don't know either way. I don't know what all, like, the behind the scenes stuff is. But I am saying, like, they have a specific type of boot, typically. Like, you go and you get a Columbia boot. But if that isn't what you're wanting, maybe check out some of the equivalent brands. A quick Google search will tell you who's an equivalent alternative to Columbia that maybe has a more aggressive tread or a less aggressive tread. Like, if you're only wanting to do day hikes and stuff, maybe you don't need that aggressive tread. Maybe you're just on a well-manicured county trail. Don't get the super heavy boot if you don't need it, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, for sure. And I guess one other thing, I was just speaking of the tread, the first pair of boots that I had, one of the selling points of it was knowing that our first trip was going to be in the Porcupine, and I'm going to use air quotes here, mountains, was that it had Goodyear tire tread. Like, it had Goodyear tread. So I was like, okay, these are going to be grippy. These are going to be good. We've all seen the commercials from football when they made the footballs and it was easier to catch because it was Goodyear, you know, it's got more grip. So I bought those for that. The tread on them was awesome. It was just the boot itself ended up wearing down on me. So I went with my wife talked me into going with Morel. She used to work at a sporting goods store, so she knows a little bit about the footwear and all that stuff. So she talked me into spending the money, and I actually ended up spending less on the Morels than I did the Columbias because I found a good sale. So that worked out. These ones have Vibram grip. So it's also a very nice tread on it. And I noticed myself, like, if it's a wet tree root or anything like that, I haven't tripped over those. I've tripped and fallen when I get them caught between my feet, but but not because I slipped. So, but yeah.
But so, then, I mean, just like some of the other things you consider, I mean, like you're saying, so, you know, the soles of the shoes or the tread on the bottom of them might be made out of these different materials. Like, your boots are made out of different materials too. Like, that's one thing you might want to consider. Like, do you want leather boots? Do you not want leather boots? Especially, like we've said before, we're in Michigan. We don't get, like, some of the hot desert climate, but, like, do you want those mesh panels so your feet can breathe? Cause it's like 100 degrees out. Like,
right.
That would be a consideration to have that. Like, you and I don't personally have those considerations.
Right.
But, like, the material or the breathability of the actual material might make a difference if you're primarily hiking in a hot desert climate versus a Midwestern wet
climate. For sure. You know? If you're in the desert and there's a lack of water, you're probably not going to need waterproof. So
Right. So, and then, you know, and even and then on top of that, there's, like, other things, like, you can get ones that are made out of recycled plastic, or you could get, you know, some of these recycled materials in your boots. So, you know, depending on what your priorities are in your boots, like, there's, I guess I bring all of that up to just say, like, there is a myriad of options.
Oh, yeah.
And it, like, almost an overwhelming amount of options. And if you don't really know where to start, it kind of can be intimidating.
Yeah.
So, really kind of think about, like, what type of hiking are you going to be doing most, and then maybe go from there based on some of those things. Like, do you need a low cut or a mid cut or a high cut? Do you need heavy tread?
I would definitely try to match your boots to your pack.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, at all times, be ready to look like you're on the cover of a catalog.
Right. Yeah, you have to look like the catalog if you want to look like you know what you're doing.
But then the one other thing I want to mention I want to get on to some of the other things because I know you got some like other footwear options that we want to cover too. So I don't want this to just be all about boots.
Right.
But one thing that I want to mention. So like we've talked a lot about blisters or your feet sweating or, you know, all that sort of stuff. Like there's heel, you want to make sure the heel fits good because you get blisters on your heels and stuff too if you don't get all that. But I guess I'm saying all of that to say that A, for sure, make sure you're breaking in your boots. But then there are ways to prevent some of that stuff. I know I mentioned like the second skin and the tape in your toes and all that sort of stuff. But there's like even different options on how you lace up your boots that you might be able to adjust, you know, if you get a pair of boots, but maybe they're a little bit comfortable in one area or you're getting a very specific problem. Like the, like maybe they're great, but your heel always seems to get a blister on it. There's different ways you can lace those boots up using some of the different eyelets that are in the boot to help prevent sort of some of that stuff. It is very difficult for me to explain how to do those different things over audio podcast, but a quick Google search will show you, like, if you're having this problem, what are different ways that you can lace up your boot? Like, just as an option, know that that's a thing. Lacing it different ways can address some of those problems.
For sure.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much, I mean, I don't want to talk about boots to death, but like you mentioned, you wanted to maybe touch on some other footwear too, because like boots are certainly not the only option.
Right. So if like the boots from what I've been researching, what I've been looking at, and I'm glad we went with boots is because boots are more for your backpackers, for when you're carrying heavy loads, things like that. The boots definitely help support your feet more for adding a lot of weight to your body for doing that. There's other options like hiking shoes, which are below the low cut boot.
Right.
Even very little to no ankle support. The pro of them is that they are a lot lighter because there's a lot less material. So if you're just trying to cover the entire Pictured Rocks thing in one or two nights or one or two days, and you want to go fast and whatever, you want less fatigue, maybe a shoe is for you. But things like that, they tend to be more flexible because there's less material. So that means they're just, they're lighter weight. A lot of them are breathable because I don't think they make a lot of the shoe options in waterproof. So they are.
So I haven't really looked into the shoes too much. I'm assuming you have looked into them more than I have.
Mean,
but do they come with all like the different tread options?
Yeah, I mean, I
and
have
all that sort of.
I've pretty much the same pair of hiking shoes that I have in my hiking boots. Just okay. I bought them for the winter because I was struggling to find a good pair of winter shoes that kept my feet warm and actually had some grip on them. So I actually have the same pair of hiking shoes. They're not waterproof. So
like, I guess, cause when I hear shoe in my head, and I guess you are telling me that I'm wrong. I'm thinking about it wrong, but I'm asking you to confirm that I'm thinking about it wrong. But like when I think about a shoe, I think like tennis shoe or like a running shoe. So you're saying like a hiking shoe is not that, like it is a hiking shoe.
It is a hiking shoe. Yep. Okay. Now there are the tennis shoes, like the trail runners or your trail shoes. And those are a tennis shoe that are very flimsy. They're very lightweight. I mean, I've got those in my research here too. And so they're, I mean, it's basically you're wearing a tennis shoe out in the woods. The downside of it, though, is that the sole, instead of it being a tougher rubber material like the Goodyear or the Vibram rubber, whatever that grip, is it's going to be a tennis shoe sole. So therefore,
you like thin rubber with like foam underneath.
Yeah,
it.
You're going to feel a lot more of that in your feet. So they're lighter weight. So if you if you're on sand, if you're on sidewalk, if the majority of your trail is flat, packed down dirt, then those are great. But soon as you start hitting roots and rocks and all that kind of stuff, you feel all of that in your feet. So you'll end up getting a lot more fatigue in your feet because you're feeling that a lot more.
Okay. Yeah. So, that makes sense. Okay. Right. So that's, so to equate it to what I know, because like I said, I have a boot. The boots are like super stiff compared to like a tennis shoe, right? Like, I mean, you're walking around in them it is a lot stiffer of a walk than a tennis shoe. Yeah, I guess that makes sense, though, that it would need to be to help prevent your feet from getting the fatigue from walking on uneven terrain right. and all that sort of
you'll
stuff.
Get, so, yeah, okay. You'll get more of the fatigue from carrying that weight on your foot rather than the pain in your foot of stepping on something sharper or anything like that.
Okay, that makes sense. Yep. Got it. Okay, yep.
There's one that I didn't even know existed that I looked into a little bit. I even priced some out for myself that I might be taking. We mentioned in another episode, we take our water socks for when we're at camp. And yep. we recommend one with a bit of a rubber sole. So, like, if you step on a stone or a stick or whatever, it's not killing your feet. But they make apparently hiking sandals, which didn't know existed. I didn't know that you wanted open-toed type things.
Yeah, I don't feel like that's for me.
It's not for me either. The pros are that they are extremely lightweight because there's barely any material to them. And that if you're in a very hot climate, there you go. It leaves your toes exposed. So if you're in like the desert and there's scorpions or any kind of biting like snakes, anything like that, probably not the best thing for you, but
I mean, I'll be honest, like the amount of times I stub my toes out on the trail.
Fair enough.
Like I cannot imagine having a sandal.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like it's for me.
Yeah. So that's where I was thinking like, okay, we expose our toes and our feet when we're at camp because we wear our water socks or whatever. So I was like, well, maybe I'll look into these hiking sandals because they do have a thicker rubber sole to them, not nearly as thick as your boots or anything, but definitely thicker than our water socks would have. They're a little the sole of them is a little bit more stiff. So I was thinking like maybe, but
okay. But we're not generally speaking. Once we are to camp and it's like time to relax, time to get the water socks put on.
Right. True.
I mean, we ain't going. We're walking around the campsite, maybe, but we ain't going out like.
I just need to get a pair of slippers.
I'm not even going to get water and stuff. Like, I would put my boots back on to go do that.
True.
I don't know. I'm like, we've said all along, like, whatever works for you, if you want to try it and that's what you swear by and it works for you, you go right ahead. Yeah. I feel like I would break a toe or something. I mean, right. I really do stub my toes a lot. I mean, there's obstacles out there on the trail. That unless you're constantly looking at your feet, which I don't want to do.
Right. I tend to look down. I like to look up and enjoy the woods and everything, but I tend to look down and watch for the roots and watch for the rocks and all that kind of stuff. You know, but yeah, I don't want to look down, but I do.
And that's, like I said, I mean, what if you feel like sandals are right for you, go right ahead. I'm sure they're more lightweight.
Yep.
I'm sure you don't got to worry about them being waterproof or not waterproof at that point because it's like, you know.
Yeah.
I guess I could see it. And if we were in a climate where I didn't need the protection of the boot and it was, I keep talking about like deserts as though I have any experience in a desert whatsoever, but like, I guess maybe if it was super hot all the time and your feet sweat no matter what kind of shoe you had them in and you really wanted a sandal. At least it does give you the protection on the bottom. So, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and it also, because there's very little material and there's nothing really surrounding your foot or anything, if you do have to step in the water or anything like that, you've got protection on the bottom of your foot, but then they dry super quick because there's nothing to keep them wet. So...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't feel like they're for me, but, you know, teach their own. So,
the last one is where I'm going to ask for some listener feedback on if you have any experience with them, because I had no idea that I know of sandals in general, like, but this next thing I knew nothing about, and apparently it's more for, like, rock climbers and people in rocky terrain, but they're called approach shoes. So there's no ankle support.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, they're shoes, but apparently they have a sticky rubber sole. So if you're on rocks mainly, it's really going to grip to the rock. So if you have to you have to step on a rock that's facing like the side, you have to step on the side of a rock to get up to the next thing or whatever. then it's going to grip more. It's got a little stickiness to it or whatever. I wouldn't wear it where we go because we're on dirt mostly, and all that sticky is just going to get dirt. So, but I have it basically, it sounds like it has like a thicker toe on it. So if you, because you're in rocks and everything, if you need to stick your toe in somewhere, it's not going to get stuck. But it does say that it's less comfortable for longer hikes. They're less comfortable. They're heavier, things like that. So they're no not idea. For me. Never heard no of recommendation that. For me. I just never heard of it. If you have any experience with them, love to hear it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much the extent of my research. Other than my research, I looked for the most popular choices based on comfort and style of hiking and stuff like that. So I have that, but that's more for a rundown if you want to, if you've got anything else.
The only other thing that I wanted to mention is like you would think if we're talking about footwear that we would talk about socks and stuff that go with it. We have already done an entire episode on socks.
Yep.
For anybody that's new though, our back catalog has a socks and underwear episode. Go check that out if you want to know more about like hiking socks and how we recommended that. But it is important to pair, you know, your hiking boots with your an appropriate hiking sock.
Yes.
But again, we have a whole episode on that, so go listen to that. We won't get into that here today.
Right. Yeah. So I guess from my research here, the trail runners apparently are one of the most popular for
really.
Yep. For people that are doing day hikes, ultra lighter backpacks, things like that, where you're not carrying a lot of weight. You're not going, you're not necessarily going on a super long trip. Maybe farther distances because it's lighter on your feet, things like that. But, lightweight on your back and everything, but still, from what I've read is that the hiking boots is like, that's where it started at. And that's where it remains is that's the most popular, thing, whether it's waterproof or not, it just has the most options, has the most versatility. They're durable and they just allow you, you can do a day hike. You can do, you know, 50 miles in them, like however long you want to go. So they're just the most versatile. So the hiking boots, means I was right when we first started.
And I would guess I would just say, I mean, kind of along with that, like there's going to be a little bit of trial and error.
Yeah.
I think, unfortunately, like, you know, I would say a lot of people, at least where we grow up, at some point in your life, you've owned hiking boots, whether you've been a hiker or not.
Cause
like hiking boots are just like a good option to have in the Midwest.
Yeah.
To, you know, for an everyday wear type shoe. So like, even if you're familiar with a hiking boot, like if you are buying a hiking boot to go hiking with, or hiking footwear in general, like a shoe or whatever, maybe really do a little bit more thinking through, like even more thinking through than I did. Like I lucked out because I didn't think too hard about it, and you gave me a couple of tips before I bought mine, but like I didn't really think through it too hard.
Right.
I wound up getting a boot that works really well for me strictly by chance. Like I really wish I would have done a little bit more research, fully understood what the difference between a low cut and a high cut was. And even the tread, like I'm not even positive I even looked at the tread on these boots that I got before I bought them. It was just like, yeah, I put them on, they're comfortable. Okay, good to go. There's a lot more stuff that I should have looked at. So I got very lucky.
Yeah.
I am recommending to anybody listening to this, do a little bit of that research on your own before you settle on one.
Don't buy the first pair you try on. Cause I mean, that's what I did. And I liked that first pair. Don't get me wrong. I really liked it. But it was literally the first stop I made and I ended up walking out of there with a pair of boots. So
yeah,
don't necessarily do that either. Go to several different stores and figure it out. Unless you know you want this brand or you want this style, then go for it. But you know, don't necessarily buy the first one you look at.
Well, and let's be honest, like I like recommendations from people. Like I get recommendations from you and you tell me what boots you've got that you like. And I've recommended to other people the boots that I have. But like at the end of the day, all of our feet are different too.
Yep.
So like a boot that might be great for you might not be great for me, and a boot that might be good for me might not be great for my coworker. You know, like, so there's all that sort of stuff too. You're gonna have to try them on, walk around in them, see if it seems like it's gonna work for you. And if whatever you get winds up not working for you, there's no point in suffering through it for years. Nope. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay. This is one of those times it's okay to say you're wrong or that you made a bad purchase.
Like, right. Don't suffer through
if you don't got to suffer through, you know?
Well, and it's not necessarily a waste. You tried it and you can put those boots to use in other aspects of your life rather than going 15 miles in the backcountry or anything like that.
Exactly. So, right.
Yeah. But, the other thing that I would say too is just make sure you're, well, I guess paying attention to what you're getting and like Sean said, do a little bit of your own research there. I think we've mentioned that a few times on this episode, as we always do. But that's all I've got.
So yeah, so that's all I got. As always, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you don't agree with something that we said, you have any knowledge about those weird shoes that Mike was talking about, any sort of feedback at all, we can be reached on our email, which is SeanMikeHike@gmail.com. We're on all the major socials at SeanMikeHike. You can always reach us via our website, SeanMikeHike.com, where we've got links to a lot of the gear that we talk about in all of our episodes. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe. It certainly helps get the word out about the podcast. And until next time, I would just say go take a hike, Mike.
Go take a hike. We'll see you guys in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, everybody.
Yep.